Welcome to the Club 937 podcast. I'm Jay, the producer, and this week we're sitting down with Kellen Miller and the Bastards, a band that's just getting started and has the potential to go far. But before we get into that, I just want to remind you that the Crooked Crab in Odenton will be hosting Dan and Tez's band, the Ten Roars, and our good friends in Hannibal on February 3rd. More info on that can be found in the show notes, but for now, let's jump into our conversation with Kellen Miller and the Bastards.
Before we even start this episode, which I guess is like our second episode of 2024, I binged all the episodes that we had recently done, like in this newest season that we're in now, or whatever you want to call it, and I had a great time through most of it. However, the Jay and Tez episode with no guest, no point, nothing really about music except for y'all like musified.
Nope.
You talk about.
Nope. If you actually think about it, at least 45 minutes of that episode is about music. We talked about Britney Spears. We talked about Britney Spears.
I'm actually thinking it was a dumpster fire of an episode is what I'm actually thinking right there.
I have
you
fun.
You guys can do fun. It again. Oh, I'm sure you guys had fun.
We
for
connected
sure.
on such a different level. We talked about Disney tunes. Like,
dude,
what?
That's great, dude. Like Disney tunes and Britney Spears memoirs and Matthew Perry and Kurt Cobain's daughter and whatever. Like,
music,
that's all good.
Music.
Just don't music. Hit record and just talk about it between each other.
Nope,
and then it'll be fine.
The people
the last 10 minutes when it got into, well, I didn't want to know. I didn't want to know about it. So hopefully somebody does. Because the last 10 minutes saved it, talking about Jay's record that he wants to do and actually bringing that home. I really, really dug that. The rest of the episodes were complete and absolute fire. But that one did me pretty deep, you guys. You know, give yourselves a round of applause. Jay, give yourself a round of applause for that.
Give us a long one. Do the long one.
The monstrosity of an episode that you guys put out, you know. Just feels good to be back. I'm glad I'm back, you guys, you know?
just so you know, as of now, that episode outperformed the debut of Phantom Banter.
Well,
and there it is.
That's some really
sad shit, you know? Like, that's some really, really sad shit, you know?
Who don't want to know? Who don't want to know the type of book that Britney Spears wrote?
Me. I don't want to know any of that.
Yeah, okay.
Shit, you know,
like, I know you were in the gym when we touched on Britney and Justin Timberlake. I know you were in the gym, like, yeah,
mad.
He really is a douchebag.
Mad as hell, really yo. Mad. No, I was in the gym, like, yo, like, why am I listening to this, man? So
did you listen to the whole thing?
Yeah, I made it through the whole thing.
Okay.
Of course I did.
Point proven.
It was like an hour and a half.
Next song.
Yeah. Next episode. Here we go. Thank God. Let's get into it, Jay. Who are we talking to tonight? What do we got?
That's Tez's job. Tez, go.
So. Man, thanks for the compliment, Dan. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Honesty, bud.
So tonight, again, I'll put the reach out there on the Facebook music scene or whatever. And this band, again, reached out, man, eager to do it, been in contact with me. It's taken a while, but they've been in contact with me. Brandon been in contact with me for a little bit, man, and we finally got it. We're here. So, fellas, introduce yourselves and tell us where you're from.
What's up? So I'm Kellen. I'm from Baltimore. That's not the important part. I don't know. I'm from Baltimore. I'm from Martinsburg, West Virginia, like 2-1. But I'm the head of this. I write a good bit of the songs and do the guitar work and get my way through the vocals on the songs. Yeah, something like that. Brandon, Spencer, y'all want to go next?
I feel like Spencer should go next.
Damn it. All right, I'm Spencer. I'm the drummer slash bassist, also from Maryland. And yeah, Kellen actually wrote all the songs. I just kind of like put my touches on them. So the whole project wouldn't be possible without Kellen, like giving the skeleton, the backbone of the songs. And yeah, I met him through Brandon at high school. And he was like, hey, my brother's got this album thing. Do you want to be a part of it? And I said, sure, why not? That's kind of how it started.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, my name is Brandon. I am Kellen's brother. My role in the band is a bit of an unconventional one, as I don't really do much in the way of actually contributing to the music. The role I give myself is kind of like the creative director. I'm behind like all the art, promotional stuff. I do music videos. I do help Kellen write some of the songs, but I don't perform any like instruments or anything on the album. That's all Kellen and Spencer.
Hey, you got half of a song on the album.
Yeah, I did vocals on one song. So
I would call you like a manager, yeah? Manager, producer, something like that, right?
Kind of like that, yeah. But they consider me a part of the group, so I'm happy to be here.
Dude, that's a leg up right there, man. Every band should have a manager, man. You know, like that's really, really cool. And it's family too, so I dig that.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. So who's older?
I am. I am about a little less than 2 years older than Kellen is.
Okay. Okay.
I'm the baby of all of us.
Have you guys been the brothers, have you guys been doing music together for like since y'all were kids, or how'd you get into it?
So it always started, like, I've always been into playing music, and throughout time, Brandon realized, you know, that it isn't always all garbage. At first, when we were young, he used to mess with me all the time. But then he started realizing that some of the songs I was writing were cool, and, you know, had a little bit of personal meaning in his life as well. So he kind of took that under his wing, and, yeah, here we are now. I did two, solo acoustic lo-fi type albums that aren't that great, but he was there for both those, and he was actually the one who recommended and decided that we go to a studio to record Juvenalia. So yeah, his influence, while it may not be him on the album, his influence is him and Spencer are 80% of all of this. I just do the guitar, vocals, and then those two make sure everything else works out around it.
Okay.
Brandon, are you booking the shows too? Are you like finding gigs and all that, or how do you find gigs?
Actually, Bastards has only played one live show, and a big part of that is because we are, you know, kind of spread apart. But I don't want to confirm anything because it's still early talks, but we might have some live stuff planned coming up. We got invited to something. We're still not sure if we're going to do it. We'll see. But we got some live stuff potentially planned. But Kellen does all his own booking. So whenever Kellen does like a solo show, which he does a lot of, Kellen does completely on his own as of right now.
Got you. Okay. You were talking about some distance, and also I want to know what the distance is, and I want to hear about the other bastards. So I'm taking Spencer here as a bastard.
Yes.
So who's the other bastards and where you guys all spread out at?
Well, that would be Brandon. He, of course, is the only other bastard besides me.
Yeah, Kellen's kicked out.
Yeah, I got replaced by my dog. It's a running joke throughout the band. I got replaced by my own dog.
She's a lot better than me, Kellen. I'm sorry.
Yeah, all right, you're damn right.
So, Kellen, you're doing lead vocals and lead guitar and everything, right?
I do all the guitar, all the vocals. I'd like to say I wrote a singular bass line on this album, but Spencer fied it. So I can't say any of that, but yes, I did all the guitar, vocals, all that.
Which bass line?
Okay.
Was it? Forever Mine.
Oh, right. Right.
I dig that song. Mm-hmm. I like Forever Mine, dude. That was one of my secret picks, man. That's
yeah, mine too, actually.
Yeah.
So Spencer, you're playing bass.
And drums. Yes, he said bass and drums.
Oh, and drums.
Yeah, he's the whole rhythm section, dude.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, gotcha. So Spencer and the dog, and I guess Brandon being the manager side of it, like they're the bastards, right?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right, so if you guys were to play a live show, how do you pull it off? Who plays what?
From the one show we did play, it was just Spencer and I. It was almost a very last minute thing, the first show we did. So me and Spencer just did it and distorted the hell out of the guitars to kind of get a little bass tone in there. We do have it planned out to where our future shows, we have, some people who are learning the bass parts. So we're going to be playing, that Brandon came up, and did a cover with us at the one show we played. He did a Built This Pool by Blink-182 with us. That was fun. So, but yeah, first show is just Spencer and I, but we also do have people currently learning the bass lines who are more than happy to participate. So
you know, there's something to be said about the two-piece. Me and Tez have talked about it for ages, of trying to do something someday with just the two of us. Like, over the years, we were a five-piece band, and we just keep shaving all the meat off of it. And me and I'm talking about Jay. Yeah, we just been shaving all the meat off of it for years, and we're down to one more. We only got one guy left, and what if we can cut him out? Then it can truly be the bones of the operation, Tez. You know, what do you say, bro? We could try it.
Frank about to cut himself out.
all right. So the two piece band, the drummer and the guitarist with all the wacky tones. There are some two piece bands, some amazing two piece bands out
there.
Local H. Yeah, there's. Yeah. They're big. And the White Stripes, the Black Keys.
What's
that heavy band, man? 68. I don't know if y'all ever heard of the 68, but those guys are absolute fire. So I do kind of dig this. I really want to pick at your sound and your style as far as the perspective I got from it. And now that I'm knowing a little bit more of your backstory, it makes a lot more sense. But you're I listened to it on Apple Music, and it's labeled as a punk record. So you guys are your genre that you chose on your DistroKid is a punk band, you know, which says something. And what I notice is your sound is like, it's pretty punk, but you guys don't have like distorted guitars. It's almost like it sounded like a pushed clean punk songs. Like kind of like pop punk, kind of that era, but with a clean guitar. And then Kellen's voice is so interesting on that sound because I think that's the sticker. And it's like the way you guys are picturing it now, like the songs on your record that the voice makes the most sense is the acoustic songs. When I listen to your acoustic songs, I'm like, oh man, it's like that smoky bluesy kind of voice that Kellen is pushing. And I'm like, this is perfect, you know?
Yeah.
But when it's on the non-distorted punk music, it's interesting, man. I haven't heard much like it. So it's a cool, it's different.
There's a bit of a funny reason, I think, for that sound, and that's because this album originally, I was Kellen and I pretty much started making this album as an acoustic album. It was supposed to be like an all acoustic album that ended up transitioning to a fully like orchestrated studio album.
Yeah, it has kind of a folk. Not folk music roots to it, but I don't know. There's something deep in there, man.
He has a very distinguished professional voice. So I noticed about the album is that it went from the two layers that you described, Dan, and then I can't remember what songs it was, but like for like somewhere there at the end, like for like two or three songs, then it got grungy punk. Like loud distorted guitars and everything.
Forever and Mine, like, and like, The Day That Changed Everything were like that, which were why they were my two picks for the album. Like those are the ones that I wanted, because I was like, yes, you got. When I listened to the whole
the whole thing too. And it was like, by the end, it was like Blink-182 meets Elliot Smith meets Everlast.
Mm.
Like that's...
Yeah.
Wow. That is a new comparison though.
Dude, I dig that too, Jay. That's actually, that's like kind of exactly what it like feeds you, you know, it feeds you that kind of energy.
That is a massive compliment, by the way. That is all.
I appreciate it very much.
Yeah,
man. I mean, it was good. You guys covered three levels, like 17 different bands, all on one album. Because there was a part in there, like in the middle part, Dan described. I heard like Soundgarden, like the early on Chris Cornell type of thing with like it just went like I heard the it was like. Doing them punk vocals, but it wasn't quite with the punk music there. But then when you jump into the full punk, like it changes everything. And then to hear y'all, and then after your album go off, what it compares you to, know that your last two to three songs are killer, because it goes, my shit goes straight death metal. From your last three songs, it go play off to death metal bands that I've never heard of in my life.
You got death metal?
But it's because,
dude, the stuff that came on after that album ended, like the just what was the weirdest shit I had ever heard in my entire life.
It was,
yeah, man. I would say death metal.
Dude, I think my algorithms mess up. I've been getting a lot of death metal after music I listen to also. And it's like, it should go like after the Deftones to start putting on death metal. And I'm like, man, like, why are you doing that after the Deftones? It should be like,
you're kinda like,
it should be okay. Radiohead, okay. Or like something else, you know? But I don't know. I think maybe it's the algorithms jacking it. You know, honestly, man, like first listen to you guys, I heard The Cure. Which I know is super weird, but it's like that kind of deeper, sad voice with that like kind of clean, pushed guitar tone is kind of where my mind went. But then Jay's description is way better. Like the whole Everlast vocals with it, like absolutely, man. That's that's totally where I was trying to figure it.
I loved how you said non-distorted punk. I thought that was perfect. Like,
yeah,
sounds about right.
Man, I've talked about it for a while because my roots go back into more metal based stuff, but you know, like real heavy riffs and you know weird leads and stuff. And I've always thought about if I made it clean, not acoustic maybe, but just clean, how it would turn out. And you guys were kind of a thing into that. And you know, Spencer, I got to give you props too, because another big takeaway for me was I was like, man. You know, I'm hearing the voice, but the bastards are sick. Like I was listening to the bastards go, like the rhythm line, and I was like, man, the bastards are pretty.
Yeah, some of those dope. Bass riffs were wow.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. Like Spencer as being one of the bastards, I think you're all right, man. I give you I give you props for that, man. Good work.
I heard some of those bass lines, and I was like, man, why did I just buy a bass? What is the point?
Dude, I think the second I realized that we had something special on bass was when Spencer was sitting there doing his part. I think it may have been the bass line. It was either for The Ghost or Smiling at the Plains. It may have been one of the earlier ones we did. I can't remember. And our producer forgot to hit to stop recording because he's just staring at Spencer with his jaw just almost on the floor. Because Spencer's just sitting there basically shredding a bass with the most casual face.
Killing it, dude. Yeah, killing it.
Thank you, guys. I'm blushing now and everything.
So I want to know influences. That's what I want to know.
Kellen, you wrote the songs, man. Go ahead.
So sonically on this album, I think... Like, as far as bands, so I won't say I don't know if I'm necessarily inspired by one specific band, but there were definitely bands that I was listening to or very into when writing this. My favorite band of all time, I don't know if you guys ever heard of them, they're a New Jersey, like, bluesy, punkish band called The Gaslight Anthem.
Yes!
Yes.
I love the Gaslight Anthem.
Yeah,
they've been my favorite band since I was 6 or 7 years old, and they went on a 10-year hiatus. Well, last year they got back together, And, you know, it was right around the time we were also going into the studio, and it meant a lot, and it put me right into writing mode. So I was listening to a lot of like Gaslight Anthem, Alkaline Trio, but also digging into that like more folky sound with Chuck Reagan of Hot Water Music was actually a very big influence on this, his solo stuff with just the deep acoustics. And like I said, this full album, every guitar part, an exception to maybe one or two little ad libs onto the album, every guitar part was wrote completely on acoustic album.
Yeah, it feels like it's like everything would translate to an acoustic guitar very, very beautifully, even the electric stuff. So I can definitely, yeah. I can, the songs are structured in a way that you could tell you kind of wrote it on an acoustic guitar. So you start as a folkman, and you're building up a team of bastards to be a live band sound. What is it? Yes, that's the deal, right? Yeah. And you got your brother, and you got your brother kind of, backing you up and breaking thumbs and shit. So you guys can, do it right. You know?
Yeah, man.
That's what's up. I dig.
But is the plan to go like stay? Well, it's hard to say this kind of sound because your sound spectrum was, you covered like levels. So do y'all want to go like more full punk or stay like in this fair in between that you found, or what are your plans musically?
So for me, as far as writing, everything I've wrote for the next album, I'm trying to keep a little bit of that punk sound. But for me, what I've come to find of listening to a lot of pop punk or punk is over time, a lot of it can start to blend together. And it's, all the bands that are breaking out in those scenes, they all, you can tell, are doing something very different that ties in with it. So, I mean, I've been, honestly, as far as writing, a lot more just folky and bluesies, and then adding the power chords and then my little, happy guitar solos over the pressing ass lyrics. Trying to write in different genres and then basically speed it up into something to make it sound more punk, but you can tell it's still in a different genre as well.
Man, that's a very cool way that's a cool process. I'm the opposite as far as I write stuff extremely loud and heavy. And now I'm starting to think like, well, I wonder if I could calm this down and play it acoustic, and I'm learning the other side of it. But you start with the roots on an acoustic guitar and then build it into something. So like if you pick up a show, if you want to put out a really loud ass record, you can do it and you can play it in a way. That's awesome, man.
Something I've been kind of envisioning for like the group going forward, and I've talked to Kellen and Spencer a little bit about this, but I've actually been wanting to be more involved with the band and the creative process. So I've been writing quite a bit, and one of the songs that the guys really gravitated to, or what I'm trying to say, was a song that I wrote called "I Thought You Hated Dancing." Which
it's a great name for a song.
Yeah. I'm really it's actually about my role in the band, like a little bit about having imposter syndrome, that like I'm considered a part of this group with like people way more talented than myself. But I wrote this song, and in my mind, it was like super folk, fiddle, harmonica, all that. And I think that would be a really cool sound for us to tackle sometime.
Yeah, the genres are all bending, man. It's crazy how we've talked about this on past episodes, how like you don't feel locked into whatever type of music you pick for yourself on DistroKid, and I've noticed even bands putting out, the same band will put out different records and give it a different genre. A band will put out a psychedelic record and then a hard rock record and then a metal album, like King Gizzard and shit,
That sounds like King Gizzard.
Yeah, man, like guys that just do not care about genre, and they just create and just push music out that just, either you love it or you hate it, but it doesn't matter because it's just always going to grow. And that's a very new thing. It's a new thing, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of unsafe to tie yourself down to one type of sound. Like, to be honest with you, like, you're on iTunes, that's how I listen to your iTunes. It says you're punk, but you don't really get punky until later in the album. You know what I mean? So, but what else are you going to pick? Like, you have to label yourself, but to other people, it doesn't really sell the experience. You know what I mean? You guys are being artists and doing your thing on this joint. Like, you experimented like shit on this album, but there's no experimental punk. There's no, you know what I mean? Like, you have to kind of put yourself in this pocket.
What are you talking about? There's no experimental punk, so, dude. Like, punk is like very experimental.
What I'm saying is that punk is the
great experiment.
You're missing the point. You're missing the point. Does it say, when you look up their album, does it say experimental punk?
No. But you have to click a button. You got to click a button on your shit. You know, like, that's like,
that's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
It doesn't fully capture what they're doing.
You know,
they're doing experiments.
Dude, Tez, you bring up a point, like, man. It would be cool if you could type in your own genre. That's something that Spotify and Apple should totally do.
Yeah.
If you could type in your own genre, so you can make the weird.
You're selling yourself short.
And I would pick the weirdest shit. I'd be like, you know, like, Inside Out bat metal or something like that. Oh, you know, like, I'd pick some stupid subgenre and be like, ha, check this out. You know, it's my new record. It's like surf pop indie Euro trash, you know, like.
So I actually did coin my own term for this album, and it's half because it has the sound, but also half just to piss people around here off. I call it an Appalachian emo album. First off, there's nothing Appalachian about me whatsoever.
Yes, yes.
It's a perfect genre name to me. Appalachian emo.
Appalachian emo.
Ladies and
dude.
Gentlemen, we have the title for this episode.
For sure, man. For sure, man. Damn, dude.
I'm pretty sure if you go to like any of the social media, like, one of the first things in our bio is Appalachian emo band. So that's perfect.
Dude, perfect.
I like that.
We hit on influences, man. We always get into
Hold on. Well, Spencer,
I want to do the Mount Rushmore thing.
We haven't even talked about how they got together.
That's a fun story.
I guess so.
Brandon, you should.
I want to hear from Spencer.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to get Spencer's Mount Rushmore, man. Like, I'm trying to see what's up.
You want to hear how we got started?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I met Brandon in high school. Like I said, I hadn't met Kellen yet because he was in West Virginia. Screw you, Kellen. Just kidding. and.
That was the quickest apology in the history of man.
The bastards, ladies and gentlemen, the bastards.
He holds too much power.
They'll fire me one of these days. You know, I'll regret it.
You're replaced with the dog, Spencer.
Finally, jeez. So Brandon and I worked for like, I don't know, a year or two by ourselves. And Brandon told me that he played bass, and that's kind of how we met, because I was working with another friend from high school and we were going to do our own thing. Turns out Brandon is a lyrical genius, and that's what you are, Brandon. My God.
You're going to call me a liar, because I absolutely could not play bass. I was the worst bassist ever.
I wasn't going to say anything. It was hard not to, but yeah, this, needless to say, he did not play bass for long with us. He switched to something else.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I love his lyrics still to this day. And that's how we kind of kept in touch, making stuff together. And a couple years went by, and then he was like, hey, my brother, he makes music too. Maybe we should all do something. He's thinking about making an album. I was like, okay. So yeah, that's really it. That's how it started.
Cool.
All right.
I want to do Mount Rushmores, man. I want Spencer's Mount Rushmore and I want all three of y'all's Mount Rushmores, man. So you pick four faces to go on the mountain of music. What you got?
I got you. Okay. So all of the three guys from Rush and Dave Grohl. That's it.
Mm. That was quick. The
quickest
was quick.
Mount Rushmore.
That was the quickest
ever
that we've had on this show.
Hallelujah, dude. That was hallelujah, quick, dude. Beautiful dude. Answer, man. All right. All right. Brandon and Kellen.
One of them would definitely be Matt Skiba of the band Alkaline Trio. The band's a huge inspiration for me, and I'm sure Kellen. It was like this experimental band I'm really into called Shushu, which I've gotten into over like the last year, which has been really influential on the way that I write things now. Damn, this is difficult. Spencer made it look so easy. He's just like, oh, you know, Rush and Dave Grohl.
Right, that's the bastards, yeah. That's the bastards talking right there. That's no, what that is, you know.
It's like Spencer has been waiting for somebody to ask him that question for forever.
That's the one thing way I have
Spencer
on my notes.
Shot that off, man. Like, Spencer knew that that question was coming.
You know what? Would it be a cop-out to say that Kellen is on that list as well? That he's one of the heads on my Mount Rushmore?
Yeah,
I would put you in. No, I'm being so serious because Kellen has inspired me to be so much better as a musician. Because I mean, I'm a percussionist at heart, and Spencer's a lot better than me, so I didn't necessarily make it for the drum tryouts, but he's also a much better bassist than me, as evident by earlier. But no, the music Kellen made, even when he was like just doing his solo, just recording songs into a phone, those songs have meant a lot to me. And in large part, that's because, you know, we grew up together, and, you know, a lot of his experiences are mine as well. And also, I just think Kellen's a killer fucking guitar player. Like, this kid is way better than he has any right to be. And I'm just so proud of him and how, like, far he has come in his musical journey. So he's number three.
Okay.
Number four. Who's number four? Feel like I should do a drummer, Jay,
before
but I don't
we,
know
before
which
he
one.
Gets his number four, man, we need something for that because that was the biggest big up of
yeah,
his
Jay,
brother.
Hook up some sound effects, God damn.
That was beautiful.
Applause,
that was beautiful,
so.
Man.
I was thinking the same thing, but the closest I had was applause.
That's fine.
I wanted
you ain't
some
got tears.
I wanted some sentimental
like
piano or something like that.
There was, yo, that was beautiful.
Just play
man.
In the background that, while he was talking.
Way to rep your brother, man. Way to rep your brother, man. That was beautiful, dog.
But dude, who's number four, man? I
number
need
four,
number four.
I think I got number four. There's this rap group that I've loved for years called Brockhampton, and the leader of that group is an artist named Kevin Abstract, who completely changed the way I enjoy and perceive music. And I think just for that, I'm going to have to put him in number four. So my list is Matt Skiba, okay. Jamie Stewart, Kellen Miller, and Kevin Abstract.
I know Kellen, so that's good. You know, that's like the only one that I know.
Now we got to do some homework.
All right, Kellen,
what challenged our mom?
Kellen, what you got, bro? No pressure. You gotta follow all this. What you got?
First off, Brandon, thank you. Thanks for the lovely words. I appreciate it.
For sure, bro. For sure, bro.
Number one, I'll just get this one out of the way because it was on Brandon as well. Matt Skiba from Alkaline Trio and Blink-182 briefly. Dude is just, you know, he can take the same riff on guitar and make 20 unique songs out of it, which I just, there's something, you know, with his writing, he has a very deep, dark, kind of haunting voice. You know, his style of writing is just insane to me. You know, he can make some of the most uncomfortable writing, but make it sound so beautiful and just nonchalant. Oh, is that the cowboy hat?
It's a hat. I have holes on the ground.
A hat.
It. Yeah,
it came out.
So that's number one. Right. Number two, who do I want to put at number two? I just had it in my mind. Oh, Brian Fallon. Brian Fallon of the Gaslight Anthem. Favorite musician of all time ever since I was a little kid. Just kind of the same thing in the boat of Matt Skiba, except, you know, this dude can write a story unlike any other and put it behind the most beautiful track ever. And, you know, that was actually the only show I think all three of us have seen together is me and Brandon, my dad's sister, stepmom, we were all going to see Gaslight Anthem last year, and we were over at Spencer's just messing around practicing, and we convinced him to come, and that was a cool moment because that's the only show all three of us have ever been to together, and I've seen them so many times now, but they're such a great band, and Fallon is such a great musician that he's definitely up there. Third, I'm going to go someone within my own local hometown, Brandon, maybe Spencer knows him, Jess Cantley.
And I was thinking about saying Jess earlier, I'm not gonna lie. I was like, he was good, almost my number four.
And I think what I admire about Jess, first off, his music is just amazing. Second off, it's the person he is and how humble he remains while managing to be one of the, like, this dude he pushes me to my limit when writing. I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I just wrote something. Now I need to throw in a million little things in it, because that's what Jess will do. He is a perfectionist, and I don't know, his ability, he makes very bluesy folk music, but he can capture any sound, and he's one of the best musicians. I play with him all the time. He is one of the best musicians I've ever seen, one of the best people I know. And number four, oh my God, I'm trying to think what number four. See, number four is the hard one. Because, see, I would say Mark Hoppus, but that feels like a cop-out, because I love Mark Hoppus, but that's more just because I love Blink. I don't know. I'm really trying to think about four.
Spencer was so quick, man. He was waiting for that question, I swear. Okay.
I know number four. He said a different tone, man. I think I got number four, and it just continues my Chicago punk trend from earlier. Brandon knows who it'll be. Brendan Kelly of the Lawrence Arms, dude, just insane songwriter, and I am such a sucker for raspy voices, and the raspiest voice is beautiful. Just great, great musician, great songwriter, and then the rasp on all top of that. I did a cover of one of their songs. They're a bigger band, and he still went out of his way to listen to it, tweet it back to me, his thoughts, his critiques, and it was just cool, you know, someone like that being in such a big band but still taking the time to go out of their way and, you know, just telling me, like, you know, this was cool, but I think it would have been cool this way, but you also did it in a unique way, and it was just cool having that experience, as well as just, you know, being someone I look up to that much. Yeah, it's cool.
Those are beautiful Mount Rushmores, guys. Good job. You know, there's something to the raspy voice, man.
So let me ask, man, how old are you guys?
I'm 21.
I am also 21.
I am 19.
Oh my God.
19. Okay. I know.
Don't be freaked out, man. You guys. I hang around with 21-year-olds and 19-year-olds all the time, dude. They're awesome guys. 21-year-olds and 19-year-olds, man. We're all 40s, right? We're all 40, roundabout. You know, Tez maybe a few over, but you know, who's counting really? Yeah, who's really
come
counting?
On,
you know,
come on, you know? Come on, man. I'm 42.
Yeah.
So
who's counting? You know, like,
I'm not even gonna put me out like that. Like, I'm 45 or some shit.
No, I said no. I didn't say 45. I said who's counting? That's what I said. You know.
It's this gray, the way the light hits my gray, it makes it look like it's way more than it is at 42.
No, you're so, dude, you're
it's really silver like fox, that.
Bud. You're,
it's
you're, really you're like a silver that. Fox, bud.
I'm a, yeah, yeah, I'm a stay fox.
No worries about that, man.
Speaking of which,
so
Tez,
you rock the gray well, man.
Real quick tangent. Tez, I know you got Disney Plus. I know you got Disney Plus. Watch Marvel Secret Invasion. And just look for any scene with Samuel L. Jackson with a beard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Dude, I was picking up Black Santas for the holiday season at Marshall's or whatever. Tez, I'm picking up Black Santas, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, bro.
Dude,
Black Santa kind of looks like my brother, man. You know, like kind of looks like Tez. You know, like it kind of fucking looks like Tez. You know, that's it. You know, that's all I'm gonna say. I'm over it.
I wish I could change your name on here.
Yeah.
To what?
Black Santa.
Black Santa.
What? What did you change
Black
it to?
Santa. Dude, that's the next band, Tez. That two piece, we're gonna be called Black Santa.
That's gonna be Santa. Our next
band, bro. Yeah.
All right.
Santa L. Jackson.
The whole reason I asked
Santa L. Jackson.
That's Santa. A good one. That's a good one. That's a good one.
The lyrical genius right here. Ladies and gentlemen, there he is.
Yeah. Oh my god.
All right, Tez. Back to the interview, Tez. Go for it.
All right, yeah. So I asked because I feel like after listening to the album, like I feel like I knew they were young. I knew they were young, man. I just had a feeling just listening to it. And I was like, you know, listen, and it's when his vocals, when he starts singing, man, I'm like, yo, that's so like, there's no way, you know, like an older voice matches an older dude. It's always like an older voice with a younger person, a younger voice with an older person.
Yeah, so they kind of gave it away.
But that, you know what I mean? Like, totally, you know where
totally
each piece of the sound, you know where it's going. So, like, the vocals, I was like, yeah, he's got to be young. He's got to be young. And then the drums, I mean, I'm a drummer, so I'm listening to drums. And I just felt, I was like, yo, there's gonna come somewhere on this joint with Spencer or whoever. I didn't know you. I didn't know with Spencer at the time,
the bastards,
but I was like,
yeah, we're the drummer, bastards, yeah.
But yeah, he about to have his moment.
Yeah,
and it was like, yo, like I was waiting for this one joint to come where he was just going off, but it was like you kept giving up a taste, pulling it back, giving up a taste. Pulling it back, like you was hitting it with a double bass.
Damn,
man! And it was one joint. I don't know the name of the song, but it was one where you hit it and you just went start going off on a double bass. And I'm like, yo, it's over, it's over. And then it just stopped. I was like, yo, you a tease, you tease.
I don't want to overstay my welcome,
bro.
He's holding that one. He's holding that one. That one's like for that. Later. Yeah, that's like for that. Later, bro.
I like that. Didn't want to overstay his welcome. I like that. I like that. I like that. So I feel, man, the way y'all.
That whole record had a lot of moments like that, though, where it's like you're just waiting for it to like break into something huge and monstrous, and then it just and then it doesn't. And it's not a bad thing. It's like there, that whole album just has this like feeling of anticipation, and you're just waiting for it to come the whole time.
And I feel when y'all finally went like, so a little background on us, me, Dan, and Jay, we're all from metal. We were in a metal band. We all are from a metal band. So we have metal background. So, you know, that's why I relate more to. The album is good, but I relate more to the end of the album because you guys got, you know, real punky, loud guitar and everything. And that's what resonates with me. So is there a plan to do a full punk album? Is there a plan that, you know, because you covered so many levels on your album, is there a plan to do one full album, like one of those levels?
Well, okay. So there's something from a few people that, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a misconception, I guess, but my music has never been the fast punk stuff ever, really. And a lot of people, I think, on this album expected, and we may have not helped it with what we made the original two pre-album singles were. I know labels get thrown around or whatever, but a lot of people look at these types of records as if, you know, it's supposed to be punk, 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 maybe a song or two to slow it down, a little something different. For me, it was kind of the opposite. Instead of, you know, one or two ballads or slower, just more chilled out songs, one or two faster songs. Instead of, you know, I didn't want the whole thing to be fast, but it does have its moments through it. Like Losing My Way, the second song, that one goes harder than Reliving right in the middle. And then The Ghost, mm-hmm. I felt was just the perfect way to end it because, you know, We opened it such a somber, dark note. The Ghost, I figured, you know what, let's close it out with a big bang.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where it was never meant to be a faster punk album, really. Like, I like what it turned out as, where it still has those slower melodic moments. But I feel like the punk moment sprinkled through it makes it to where, you know, because for me personally, I don't want to like, I like punk and I like pop punk. I don't want to listen to something where it's just punk song, punk song, punk song, punk song, punk song. I just want it, you know, I like having that diversity throughout an album on the faster, slower ballads, all that.
It, you know, it's funny because when Brandon came to me and said, hey, my brother's making an album, he told me it's going to be punk based, and he showed me some of his music, and it was all like acoustic punk stuff. So I thought going into it before I heard like the demos of the songs that we were going to use, like, all right, I better get into punk mode. Here we go. I better study my Travis Barker stuff. But hearing the songs, I was like, man, this, I can get kind of loose with this. And obviously, like Kellen said, like our singles are more punk based, and I try to match the drums to that more. But some of the other songs, like, you know what, this kind of has more of a pop feel. So, and why not?
Yes, dude, Spencer has an interesting role as the only member of the Bastards with thumbs. You know, like Spencer has an interesting role because no, like you're getting, but like the way I see it is you're getting pushed this shit that Kellen and Brandon are writing, right? One's writing lyrics, one is writing guitars, you know, like they're putting together these ideas and they're coming your way, and you kind of get to be a puppeteer of sorts as far as how you want to carry these songs with the other guy's input, of course, you know, but like I think it's kind of a cool gig, man. Like being able to like be the backbone of the song it's a big job, man. Like it's kind of what people listen to lyrics and words and they, it resonates with them or it doesn't, you know, but the groove, the groove and drive of the song is what actually is affecting like people's emotions and heart, you know? So that's a big part of that job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No pressure.
No pressure, dude.
I mean, you guys had that one joint. Wait, before we get into that song, Brandon, why don't you play bass in the band?
I'm going to be honest. I am not very good with string instruments.
Yeah, he's mentioned and, that, Tez. He said that earlier.
I, you know. It's funny that you bring this up because recently I've been really trying to like get pretty good at guitar. And that's because I want to be the acoustic guitarist of this band.
Yeah. Like,
that's a goal that I'm aspiring for. But the problem is, Kellen's so much fucking better than me, that bastard. And
the bastards, man.
Yeah, the bastards.
Those bastards, man.
And I mean, like I said, my background is primarily percussion. But Spencer's so much of a better drummer than me, that bastard.
Damn, that bastard, dude.
And like I said earlier, like I had envisioned like the future of Bastards possibly being a bit more folk based.
Yeah,
and I would absolutely love to rip some harmonica on the next album. So wow, man. That might happen. I might be our resident harmonica player.
Dude, you know the name of the band. The name of the band. It's not a punk name. You're not like the Wipers. Well, I mean the Wipers are an awesome band, but like, you know, whatever the beer cans or like, you know, some kind of punk name. Like you can be whatever you want, man. Like the Bastards is anything.
We stole that name from the
Irish. Bastard. I think straight Irish.
Yeah, you spell it the same, right? You spell it with an E, right?
Yeah.
I picked up on that, dude. Yep. I was like, yo, they're the Bastards, like the Inglorious Bastards, so, you know? I got you.
Brendan, I was saying that because I told you the three of us were in a band. Our bass player, Impulse, bought a bass.
Yeah.
He started in this band as the DJ.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Wasn't slapping no licks at all. He had a drum set in his basement, wasn't playing drums at all. And he was the DJ. But we were like, are we going to be a fake ass Linkin Park? No.
Right.
So he just went to the music store one day.
Got a bass.
Bought a bass.
That was it. That was it.
And just bought a bass, bro.
Yeah.
So
good times.
If you're thinking about it, do it.
That was what I'm telling you. By the way, that was when we were 19 and 21 or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what? You know what?
Yep, that part too.
You've inspired that part me, too. Spencer.
There's your motivation.
You should come to Guitar Center with me. We're going to buy a bass.
Buy a bass.
I want you to help me pick it out.
Buy a bass, dude. You know, buy a bass, you know.
I have a bass. And a funny story about that was the bass that I brought to my first band practice with Spencer, and where I absolutely botched it. I bought it from like a secondhand store while I was on vacation in Florida. And to this day, I haven't changed the strings on it.
Oh, God.
And the strings on it when I brought it over to Spencer's were already incredibly old.
I couldn't tune it.
Dude, don't change the strings, man. Just get a new bass, you know? Just discard that one and just go get a new bass with new strings on it. Yeah, don't ever change strings, man.
Just buy a new bass every time.
Just buy new basses, new guitars.
Buy a new bass every couple years, you'll be fine, you know?
I like it. That's the plan, guys.
Sell it. Rebuy a new one.
Brandon, don't feel too bad. You remember that bass I got for Christmas in like 2014, 2015, 9, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
The one that's been sitting in a garage for 5 years. Yeah, I never replaced strings on that one.
Nah, dude.
So, 10 years old strings on my bass.
Dude, basses are not. Yeah, give it to Brandon.
It's fresh. It's a Gibson.
2014. You know, it's still fresh. You know, yeah. Still has some life, you know.
And only a decade. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That could be worth
it. Yeah.
Shit, man. Vintage is what we call it, right? Real quick,
while it's on my mind, there was something I wanted to mention to y'all too before we move too much out of the album part. And it's another just big brag on Spencer as well. One thing a lot of people don't know about this album, we never practiced any of these songs together outside of Losing My Way. Everything, I didn't know what Spencer's bass and drum parts were when we were in the studio recording them. We were recording these songs, so they were all wrote, but we were making them on the spot as we were recording. We didn't have the BPMs. One song on here, Dear Insanity, I just call that Spencer's song. Because I didn't write it, my buddy Rowan O'Brien of Forever Catastrophe is actually the one who wrote that, and then he scrapped it and told me I could have it. So I did some change-ups on that. But we were in the studio practicing the song, doing one or two run-throughs before we recorded it. And that's when Spencer was like, you know what, let's do a, I think it was like 50, 60 BPM. He was like, let's just do a big tempo change between the verse and chorus. So that was all made on spot. Like Losing My Way was literally the only song we ever practiced together before going in the studio.
Wow, man.
And reliving. But I actually have a really funny story about the first time they practiced.
When your mic stand kept breaking?
Yeah. So... The first time Kellen and Spencer met was like summer of 2022, where Spencer and I went up to West Virginia to where Kellen was because he didn't have a car at the time. And Spencer brought his whole drum kit and we set it up in my mom's like spare bedroom. And with a single dynamic mic that I placed over top of Spencer's drum kit, there was duct tape. There was duct tape all over the mic stand because it had snapped while I was setting it up. Ugh. We recorded like an original demo, which is sitting somewhere on my hard drive. And it sounds like shit, but I love it. Of Kellen playing the riffs for Losing My Way and Reliving, and Spencer doing drums, and the drums we recorded with a single dynamic mic overhead. And it's so funny listening back to it. But the thing that's really awesome about it is somehow, almost immediately, these two, Kellen and Spencer, the creative chemistry they developed like that blew my mind. Because these two, if Kellen starts playing guitar, Spencer can find a fucking awesome way to play drums to it. And the way that within a matter of minutes, they can make a song out of almost nothing blows my mind.
Well, you know, the chemistry is it's a big part of it, man. And to be honest with you guys, if you didn't have that chemistry, you probably wouldn't be on this podcast. Like, you wouldn't be as far as you are right now, you know, like without that.
That's valid.
You know what I mean? Like, you guys, clearly you've got something. You're here. Yeah. So now we're here, you know. So
shout out real quick. Shout out to our producer. We haven't really mentioned him much. Shout out to our producer, Phoenix Johnson of Brandon. What's his? Marzi Maddox, but what is the studio name?
Yeah, his home studio. I'm blanking on the name. Actually, I think I have the Juvenile CD somewhere.
Yeah.
Give him his credit due.
Sure.
Phoenix had one hell of a touch this album, and we went into this not knowing anything really about. We've never been in a professional studio. This was our first shot, and Phoenix was very, very patient with us. He, you know, if it was. There's a lot of producers who wouldn't have given us the time of day. Phoenix was very patient, but he was also, you know, he was a perfectionist in a way of he would be very honest with me. If I had a bad vocal take, he'd be like, all right, we're going to run that back, but we're going to do it 3 more times. And then you're going to choose. He's like, and if you don't like any of them, we're running it back 6 times after that.
I don't know what I do with the CD. I lost our album, Kellen.
Shit.
Damn it. Not again.
Shit.
I know I got a few copies somewhere upstairs. You know what? I'm going to run upstairs. Okay.
Good luck.
He's going, dude. Good luck, dude.
Au revoir.
Good luck.
Yeah, Phoenix, first time I also worked with a producer, and he was just so intuitive about everything. The song The Day That Changed Everything, the part where it's just the bass and the vocals, everything kind of breaks down. I was playing that first take while recording it, and... we didn't record the click with the bass. We just did it with the drums. And when the drums cut out, he just immediately switched on the click without me needing to ask. And it was like one of those moments I knew, like, all right, this guy knows some things.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where the
producer... Yeah, you know what he's doing. You know what he's doing.
I think it was a perfect mix of, you know, like I said, with us never practicing these songs together, I feel like the collaborative effort between all four of us and even having some extra input on my buddy, D Calhoun, he does solo, Screaming Mad D, and he's in a band called Spiral Rave. He'd stopped by the studio and had a studio day, with us and just sat there and listened, and he gave his input. So it was nice having that outside input because my whole life I'd been recording everything. Just, it was me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So whatever I liked is what went. So it was nice having, you know, an input to where, not that it was all, not always all in me. Like I liked having that aspect of my music, but having the other professional opinions of four other musicians was an extreme help.
How long were you guys in the studio? Like was it,
yeah, that's a good question.
About 9 months. 9 months actually total. We started recording the album. First session was September
30th,
22. Was it September? Yeah, September 30th, 2022. And the album was finished June, like, 29th or 30th of 2023.
So what would y'all do? You all went, like, once a month or once a week? Or how often were you going?
Like that.
We recorded the first two singles, Losing My Way and Reliving. And then we did that, and then we went back like 2 months later and had another session. And then after that, we didn't go back for 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
We did our first two sessions, and after that, we did probably 4 or 5 sessions in a matter of maybe a month. So it was it started out slow, but then once it started getting everything, we just went full on and finished the album.
So you did it like by day, like you'd book a day here, a day here, and then like you'd start ramping up and doing more and more days, but full day sessions.
Yeah. So that originally we were doing to where it was like our first few sessions were a 4-hour interval split amongst a weekend, like a Saturday and a Sunday, 4 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
just so I had time to rest my voice. But then, you know, with us traveling, that just became more unrealistic because I've had car troubles ever since I got my license 2 years, been a year or two since I got my license. I've just had car trouble since, so I always had to find a way there. So that's when we were like, eh, screw it, we're going to start doing these 8 to 10 hour sessions. But we were also, when we first started recording, you know, just the inexperience the first time, we recorded 2 full songs, but that took up 2 full sessions.
Right.
So that's when we started our next sessions. You know, we would do all the instrumentals or do like all drum day, all guitar.
Break them up.
And that just makes it go by so much quicker. And that was the part of the learning process. And we learned a lot making this album. And it's not a perfect album. There's still, after a few months of sitting with it, there's a few things on it I would change, obviously. But sure. I feel like that's every band with every album they've ever made.
Always, man. Yeah.
So annoying.
Yeah.
Yo, he just said something about getting his license. Man,
I know, right? Well, dude, 2 years ago he was 17, yeah. Man. You know, you got to remember that. You know, like that's how it goes, gosh, man. Yeah, man, it's different, man.
Yeah,
Dude, Jay, we should listen to this music, man. Let's listen to it.
We'll listen to it, and then I have some questions.
All right.
Hold up. Because I feel like we're not even scratching the surface of the potential of these young fellas. Because they're so young, man. They're so damn young, dude. When we started, like, we were the same age when we started. And we, like, man,
we've been through a lot.
You talking
That's
about
for sure.
Scratch.
That's for sure.
We scratched, clawed, bit whoever we had to bite.
It was a different generation, though, Tez. 20 years ago, the shit was way different, man. You know? It was a different time.
That's why I feel like we have so much inspiration and information to pass off to these young dudes that I want to make sure we get everything covered, man, because I see potential. I see mad potential just from this being your first album, and you pull out a full length already, and you just telling me that y'all just did this shit a couple months ago. It just came out of, like, you guys got potential for days, bro.
Appreciate
so that. I want to make sure that we help y'all hone in on your potential and you get everything that's coming your way, man. Because music is something that, you know, you're only going to get out of what you put into it. You know what I'm saying? And you already put out, y'all already put out a full length. So really, you're here for the long run. So, you know, you got to put in everything that you got. And I want to make sure y'all do that. You put a full length out and y'all didn't even jam before you put the joint out. Like, come on. Come on, man. Y'all on some way different. So, like, you know, now that you have the capabilities to grow and do what you can as a band, you know, also as individuals, because, you know, you have to be separate to be together, making sure that y'all capture everything. And as individuals and as a band. And now when you start jamming together, start writing, creating, doing all that stuff together, that you are on a different level than you were. Because now that y'all done did a full length already, your mindset shouldn't even be on this album no more. It's what's next.
You're right.
Yeah, man.
Because what's next is what you do together. Y'all already did an album separately. I mean, let's call it what it is. You did an album separately. Everybody had their part. And you did an album and it came out together, but you did an album separately. So imagine what you can do together. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the plan for next time, is to try to work together more. Definitely fix some of the things that the problem we have with wanting to change things on this album we've already done. I think a lot of that will hopefully go away. I mean, it'll still be there, but hopefully less of it.
That never really goes away. I think, I mean, and not just with music. We're talking anything creative. There's a saying, a project is never done. Like, you just get to the point where
a painter's house is never painted.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, if you're writing a song, the song's never done. The album's never done. I do, you know, filmmaking, and a video is never done. It's just, you get to the point where you're like, we can put this out. If you can comfortably put it out, done is better than perfect. That's how you got to attack it. Like, it's nothing is ever going to be perfect. There's always going to be something that, like, even if it's like years down the line, you're going to be like, look, I still go back and I listen to our old band, and that hasn't been together in God, I don't even know how long. It's been a long time. It's been over 10 years. And I'll go back and I'll listen to it. And I'll still.
But even with y'all, like.
Yeah. I'll still be like, man, I wish I sang that differently. Or I wish we mixed this differently. You know, it's.
That's what I'm saying. Know?
It's always. Yeah. you just got to accept that that feeling is always going to be there. It's never going to be perfect. It's just, you just got, you decide when it's done.
Yeah. A lot of
how many times did we write Eyes?
We had three versions of the same song. You know what I'm saying? Like, Eyes 1, 2, and 3.
I guarantee if you guys just with the album you did already, if you went and re-recorded it, it would be completely different from what you already recorded.
Oh, 100%.
A, you would challenge yourself musically. B, you know that you're going to do something different from what is already out there. Why would you give the people the same thing? You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you're going to challenge yourself musically to create something that's already different from, all right, I mean, we know how to play song A, but if you got to play song A, then you're going to rewrite song A to where it's still a banger, but you're going to play it different because you already gave it one version. You know what I'm saying? So that's the beautiful thing about being a creative in music. Like, it can, I mean, bro, you know how many songs there are that sound like fucking Eminem, Lose Yourself, but they're not called Eminem, Lose Yourself, but somebody bit a piece of that song and, you know, called it something different, rap something different, or saying something different, but it's still the same music. It's because music goes on forever and forever and forever. The same song can last and help people, inspire people to write different things forever. Forever, man. So as long as you have that creativity about you, it's going to go on forever, man. And I see that in y'all. I see that in y'all. I went that long way just to say that. But I see it in y'all, man. Y'all young.
Bro, we appreciate
y'all
being
mind
us
to us, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. I'm impressed by the album, man. I am. I'm impressed more than the music. It's the work ethic, man. I'm impressed, man. Y'all got me with that. Y'all got me with that for sure.
I'm impressed too. Can we listen to it? Yeah. Can we hear some of it now?
All right. Yeah. Do you think?
Please.
Do you
thank think? God. Jay, let's go. Put the let's song go. On.
Well, hold on.
Lego.
It is customary Lego. At the Club 937 podcast that the artists introduce the song. So
very true. Very true.
Yeah. Yeah. I want let Brandon go ahead and introduce that bad boy.
This song is called The Ghost. Insane song. Kellen wrote this entire thing on an acoustic guitar, which is insane because the song doesn't seem like it. And then Spencer elevated it. It's a great song. It's called The Ghost.
Crush under the weight, skin
So, look, you guys, that's a fantastic song that you guys wrote. You know,
yeah, man,
that's a beautiful song. And to break balls, I played that song tonight for my daughter. She is 10 years old, so a little bit younger than Kellen, you know?
Still here.
All right, so she's 10 years old, and I played her this song, and she was digging on it, and she's like, you know who he sounds like? The singer, right? She's like, you know who he sounds like? And I'm like, who? She's like, Ken. And I'm like, Ken who? And she's like, Ryan Gosling, like Ken from the Barbie movie.
From the Barbie movie.
because of the I'm just Ken song, like that ballad song, like she related you to Ken, Kellen. So
I take it.
Compliment ever.
Honestly, like when you were naming your Rushmore and you couldn't think of number four, in my mind, I was like, Ken.
The music video for The Ghost is now going to be Spencer dressed up as Barbie and Kellen as Ken.
Yeah.
Have y'all seen the music video for Losing My Way by chance?
No, I haven't watched a music video yet, man. Oh, I gotta check it out. What's on YouTube, right? YouTube?
Yes, it is us baking a cake.
Baking a cake?
My directorial masterpiece.
He's also our music video director.
It sounds like it, dude. It really does sound like baking cakes.
Many shirts and Spencer's back patio were ruined in the making of it.
We had to power wash Spencer's back patio afterwards because we got much flour everywhere.
I have to look this up, dude.
So we've spent a lot of this episode talking about, you know, the guitar and the bass and the drums, but I'm a singer and a songwriter, and I want to talk about the lyrics a little bit, because I'm not really one to talk if you ever go back and listen to the stuff that I've written, but for 19 years old, man, you got some pretty tortured lyrics throughout that album. So my question is, are the songs that you're writing, are they pulled from personal experiences, or are you like, the only way I can put it is like writing stories and then writing songs about those stories?
No, they're all pulled from personal experience.
Damn.
Yeah.
So you've had a life.
It's been an interesting one, that's for sure. Yeah.
At 19.
I mean, like I said, I'm not one to talk.
All right, two questions. Was it Scully or Skelly? Something like that?
That is a pseudonym I go by, Skelly Lake.
Okay. Did you guys lose somebody recently?
Yeah, are you talking about Smiling at the Plains?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. That was a song that I wrote shortly after my grandfather had passed away. And that song is about him.
Yeah, I picked up on it soon. I was like, ooh. Yeah, that was one of them ones. It's like,
me the most was the very first song in the beginning, because you say something like basically along the lines of, why am I the one that's still here? Which is actually something that like I'm currently writing a song about, because I'm in recovery. I'm a recovering addict, and like I've lost a lot of people. So like that, when I heard that line, I was like, ooh, I know that feeling. I understand that one a lot.
So so with that one in the beginning, and first off, congratulations, man. Keep going at it, man.
Thank you.
That's great. That's great for you, man. That song, that line right there, I think the line you're talking about is, I feel guilt that I'm the one still breathing. The gifts of life seem to curse my being. So one night, this is a little messed up story. I won't get into all the depths of it. My buddy had picked me up and we were going on a ride. Actually, oddly enough, we're just going to the gym right down the street, and we were driving and a car was coming about 60 miles per hour directly towards the passenger side where I was sitting. My buddy was able to spin the car in a way to where it didn't hit us directly, but we got into a car accident and I sprained my back, and it was messed up. I thought I was going to die. Well, that same night, my cousin was, she was hanging out with some friends late at night, literally the same night as my car accident. And she ended up, passing away that night, due to an accident, two completely separate incidents. And, it was more of that thing while I was recovering from my sprained back, you know. Just go into that funeral at the time. At the funeral, like going downstairs, I could barely walk holding on to the rail just because of how messed up my back was. And that was one of those things. It's like, damn, why am I the one alive after that? I know it's messed up, but it was, that's where that line came from. And that's where, track 5 on the album, Summer Rain, is also about that.
Jeez.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Survivor's guilt is no joke, dude. It's no joke.
But we also are taught to believe that we don't make it through horrible times or horrible things for no reason.
Yeah.
There's a reason behind all of this. Mm-hmm. There's a reason you made it. There's a reason you woke up this morning. All that. All that. I mean, if you you really wanted to vote of who I am, like you go into other episodes, the way I talk, you know, my dude supported, man, but it's you know, there's a whole reason in being for us being here, and we ain't got to get into it tonight, but there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. So yeah, man. All right, we got to hit him with the.
Let's do this lightning round, and then I'm gonna jet. I gotta go walk my dog because she's freaking out. So I gotta go in like a little bit.
Almost 90 minutes on the dot. Yeah, that sounds right.
So look, guys, this is something we like to call lightning round.
Hold up.
All right,
jumping the gun a little bit, man.
All right,
come on.
We got music,
ladies
now,
and
bro.
Gentlemen. the lightning round.
Ah, thank you, Jay. Welcome back to the lightning round.
I love how the actual drummer wasn't the one drum rolling during that. It was just me and Brandon.
So the lightning round goes like this. I'm going to ask you guys some quick questions. And responses are usually quick answers. Don't think too hard is the only advice I've got for you. There's three of you here. So this is a difficult kind of lightning round. I can hit all three on each, or I can pick and choose. All right. Man, I've got a bunch in my notes, and I actually have some fresh ones that the 10-year-old wrote, which will be great. Okay, let's do some of those. All right, here we go. All three of you guys, your last meal.
7-Eleven taquitos.
I had a turkey sandwich and apple slices.
Beautiful. We said we're 21, right?
All right. Yeah. 21. Yeah, 21. We're with you.
It's appropriate.
All right. You can turn into a dog. What kind of dog would you turn into?
Pitbull.
The one that talks, the huskies.
I'm gonna be annoying to shit, so I'm gonna be a chihuahua.
Are you? I hate you now.
Another animal question. What is the most terrifying animal and why?
I don't want to see a hippo.
Holy shit, that's two episodes in a row.
Hippos are fierce, bro. Hippos are fierce.
You were defending hippos last episode.
They are kind of cute. Baby hippos are very cute. They're very cute.
Walrus. I would never want to see a walrus. Those teeth scare me.
The walrus.
Yeah.
I am the walrus.
I am the walrus. Favorite Beatles song.
I don't know. You know, I'd have to say a bear. Bears scare me.
The bear?
Yeah, the bear.
All right. Here's a weird one. Would you rather do 10 years in a coma or 5 years in prison? This is my 10-year-old daughter making these questions, by the way.
Okay. 5 years in prison.
I would also go 5 years in prison. 10 years in a coma is insane.
I want to be different. I want to be like Snake from Metal Gear. I'm picking the... I know that was 9 years, but whatever. 10 years it is.
Going coma? My man, yeah, the bastards are going coma, everyone. The bastards are going coma. Cool. All right. You are the last person on Earth. How would you spend your time? I guess I'm thinking of like Book of Eli or something. I don't know. But that's how she wrote it. Last person on Earth. How would you spend your time?
Talking to Wilson. That's about it.
I would. I would take in as much art as possible. Like, I think humans are super fascinating, and I think art is the best expression of us. So if I was the last person on Earth, I would spend the rest of my time getting to know the people who aren't.
Yeah, good answer, man. Very professional.
Okay. Yeah, good answer. Man.
Kellen.
I don't think you other guys can say anything better than that. So.
That's hard to say. I guess. I mean, if I'm the last person on Earth, I'm not the most self-sufficient person. I guess. this is pathetic, but I guess I don't know. I mean, eat until I die. find some good food.
That's a good one too.
That is a good one, man. That's a really good one. Fucking realist. You can piss on the White House and you just want to eat until you die. Shit. All right. Cool. Would you rather it be always day or always night?
Always night for me. I am at my most creative at nighttime.
Day. Night. I fucking hate traffic.
That's also good a good answer. Reason.
Yeah, but if it was whatever, if it was night all the time, there would be traffic at night too. You know, like it would just be night traffic instead of day traffic.
Nope. You didn't change the rule. He answered.
I guess so. Always day or always night. Okay, we're sticking with night for traffic. All right, bastards, what you got?
I guess I'm
Spencer's bastards. Yeah, Spencer's bastards.
Well, if it was DC, it doesn't matter what time of day it is, there's traffic. So I'm going
that's true.
I like seeing, you know, when I go outside.
Seeing is overrated.
I like seeing. I like seeing. I'm going to go with Dave because I like to see stuff. Cheers.
Yeah, when you say seeing's overrated, take them glasses off and say how far you make it.
All right. Here's
that's a reason I've had a couple eye surgeries, buddy.
All right. Here's the last one, and it's the most important one, really. Would you rather burp farts or fart burps?
What?
I got to think about that one.
Yeah, it's a deep one, man. Like when she said it, I was like, what? And then I was thinking about it. I was like, man, that's a tough one. Burp farts or fart burps?
Would you rather
fart burps?
Fart burps?
Because yeah, the idea of what is essentially like a micro shit happening in my mouth.
I need that taste.
Yeah, right? Like I burp once, I got to brush my teeth. Like.
Burn it out with gas.
I don't want to deal with that all day.
It could just be the noise. I guess it's due to the perspective of the one getting the question, but it could just be the noise. The way I read it is like, would you rather? Well, maybe it is physical. I don't know. Burp farts or fart burps is how I typed it.
It's only physical. What are you talking about?
I think it's more like when you burp, it's fart sound, and when you fart, it's burp sound. That's what it is to me.
When have you never not physically burped or
farted? I'm just thinking of the ears.
It's called physical.
I'm just going noise.
Like your mouth and your butthole is
all
physical.
Yeah, but the insides are not reversed. You know, like I feel like my insides are still the same. Everything's still.
The exit is still the same, dude. It's still gas.
I think it's audible.
And it's either coming out of your butthole or it's coming out of your mouth. Like it's still
gas. It's strictly audible.
Yeah.
This is the hardest lightning round question that I've had in quite some time. When she came up with it, I was like, shit, man, this is a tough one.
And
that's a tough one.
I apologize to any of my family watching, but isn't farting out a burp just basically a reverse rim job?
Ladies
and gentlemen.
Jesus Christ, dude. Kellen's got bars, dude.
Ladies and bars, gentlemen. Bro. He just dropped a mic on y'all.
Jesus.
Oh my God.
All right.
Therefore, that's my answer.
You successfully survived the lightning round, man. Congratulations. Yeah, good job, guys. Good job.
He said reverse rim job.
Yeah, man. That's another good episode. Well, that might not be a good episode.
That's not a good episode title.
Good episode that name. Is
absolutely not a good episode title.
We will get a ton of clicks, bro. We will get so many clicks
from the wrong people.
You know?
Yeah.
Whatever, man.
And poor Margie.
Clicks are clicks, bro.
Margie would not appreciate that, man.
No. My mom, she totally would. She'd laugh her ass off.
Yeah, Margie would totally appreciate that.
Your mom, on the other hand, Tess.
No, your mom would not appreciate that at all.
No. She's going to call every last one of y'all individually, and you're getting a prayer call. And she's going in. My mom prays for my mom's a bishop. I'm a preacher's kid. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a while. She's going to pray. She's going to pray. Yeah. Yeah. So
pray the reverse ring job away.
Yeah.
We need some saving, honestly.
Dude, Kellen and the Bastards, I want to thank you guys for coming on tonight. I appreciate I appreciate the youth of today hanging up with some guys that have been around the block a couple times. I promise you guys I'll do my best to stay relevant, you know, and you guys will as well, you know, and your journeys forward from here.
I feel like
just stay relevant, bro. That's all you got to do.
I just feel like we ain't even scratched the surface as OGs in the game. We ain't even scratch the surface on the type of knowledge that we can give them. So, I mean, we're going to stay in touch, bro. Cause I feel like, man, I got some words for y'all, bro.
And dude,
like,
and also, I don't know if this helps or not. Probably doesn't, but like, the same woes you guys have right now. I have the same woes with my band, and I'm 40, so they never go away. The band woes.
And we've been doing over 20 years.
It doesn't get any easier. It's the same drama. It's the same. It's the same everything.
Yeah.
And maybe that's some of the magic to it. You know, I think maybe that is a little bit of the magic. It kind of keeps you young. You know, it keeps you young because you're always using that creative side.
Yeah.
What Dan is saying, man, that's what makes you a musician. That is why Dan is a musician. Because the woes are always going to be there, man. They're always going to be there. If you don't worry about what you sound like, what you play like, what you, if you don't worry about them things, then you settle. You become very comfortable with what your sound is. That means there's no tweaking. There's no anything that you feel like you need to happen. You're just comfortable with the way things are. No matter if your guests or your fans are telling you that sucks.
Well, yeah.
You go with what you feel. Yeah, you know
turn
what I'm
into a square, bro. Right. You turn into a fucking square. You know,
yeah.
That's what it is. Be a square, dude.
And that's been my thing for future writings. I look at it as like complacency is a curse. You know, mm-hmm. we need to keep going on with it. And we need to keep building. Like, I don't want to become complacent with it, because when you become complacent, when you become boring and predictable, and I hate music that's boring and predictable.
Yeah, man. Like, go ahead, Tez. Drop it on him, bud. Go ahead.
You didn't put out a complacent album. So you can't become complacent.
Well, sure you can. You can end up becoming complacent, which is what we're not trying to do. You know,
that's the easy part. But they can't. You already put out a non-complacent album. You already put out an album that you challenged yourself. Yeah, that is true. On.
If you follow up to this with some pop punk shit, then you guys are legit sellouts. You know.
Yeah.
That is the truth. You know.
From here on out, be weird. If you stop challenging yourself. You stop challenging yourself on your work, it's a problem, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So don't become complacent. You guys are artists. You guys are young. I'm telling you, listen, we as musicians, the three of us have been around this moon so many times, bro. And nobody gave us the game at all. You know what I mean? And you guys are young and you got talent. Like, and we just heard one of these songs. You guys have talent
and DistroKid, yo. Like, do whatever the fuck you want, because like, it's so much easier now than it used to be. I hate to sound like an old dude saying that shit, but like, it is true. Like, coming from the world of like demo CDs and 8x10 glossies and a band bio that you mail to a record label, like, you know, like, it is so different now, man. And
Yeah, we had to threaten to fight Roach from DC 101.
Yeah, I mean, right. those were old times, man. But like the times now, like you guys can do whatever the hell you want to.
But you guys got talent. Not everybody coming on this show got talent. Trust and believe.
Yeah, we appreciate it, y'all.
We're gonna
listen to the Tess and Jay episode. And you'll hear no talent right there, bro. Thank you, dude.
I'm definitely gonna be checking. I'm gonna keep up with y'all, man, because I got faith in y'all, man. I do. I got faith in y'all. Y'all young. You already started. Take it to the top.
Take it to the top. Now let me go walk. Let's walk this dog, yo. Let's do these peace outs.
All right, we out of here. All right, let's go. All right. The three of y'all, man, any last words, whatever you want to tell the people, this is your time.
Tell us where we can find you. Give us this is your time to promote yourself. Go for it.
Spotify. You can find us on Kellen Miller. You can find us under The Bastards. Instagram, Kellen_Miller_music. Facebook, Kellen Miller Music. And a little bonus, if you want to keep up with any shows that I run, Miller's Live Events and Entertainment, or Miller's Entertainment Live Events. And I personally just want to say thank you, guys. Like, this was a great experience, and we are very appreciative of you guys having us on.
Cheers, buddy. Cheers, buddy.
Or also, like, the full digital album is available on pretty much all streaming services, as well as Bandcamp. And also on Bandcamp, you can buy a CD designed by yours truly. If you're a big fan of physical media like I am, and you liked what you heard, check this out.
Vinyl coming soon.
Yeah, baby.
Yes.
Also, check out my other band, Baghead.
Baghead.
That's all I have to say.
Cool.
Boom.
Dropping Baghead on him.
Boom. Baghead. He let him know. He let him know.
Spencer,
they know
what's up?
Spencer,
man,
what you got?
This was so much fun. This is my first time doing anything like this, and honestly, I had a blast. I mean, it was. I was a little bit nervous before coming on here, as I'm sure a lot of people are, but you guys made it so easy, and it was a lot of fun. So thank you guys so much for doing this, and yeah, making it worth sticking around in this this roller coaster of a business.
Yeah,
thank
man.
You, thank you.
It's crazy.
I might
man.
Steal Spencer's Mount Rushmore. I don't know. Oh no, my Mount Rushmore it changes every episode. With like what all the guys say, I'm like, oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Someday I'm gonna have to drop my own.
Just don't steal Spencer. He kind of carries me, and I kind of need him. So
yeah. Word.
You can steal his Mount Rushmore. Just don't steal him.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Deal, man. Deal, you guys.
Fellas, yeah. Last man. Words.
I want to say thank you to Kellen and the Bastards for coming out tonight and hanging out with us. And the dog is included in the Bastards.
She's sleeping.
Yeah. And I want to thank everybody for listening to us. Support your local scene, support your local music, and support your local art. And all is love. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you, guys.
Guys, thanks for coming on the show. This was a lot of fun, and good luck with everything. To everybody listening, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us 5 stars, thumbs up, whatever you can give wherever you're listening from. Make sure you check the show notes for more information on Kellen Miller and the Bastards, as well as our own social media. Come on by, say hi. And yeah, Tez.
You already know how I do. Spencer, Brandon, Kellen, I appreciate y'all coming through. Brandon, I appreciate you answering the call, my guy. We're going to stay in touch, man. Like I said, man, I got so much faith in y'all, bro. I'm going to be on you. You hear me? I'm going to be on you. Listen, man, we love y'all. We thank y'all for following us, loving us, listen to us, man. New year, 24, the sky's the limit for everybody. Let's go get it. Hey, man, you know how we do it. I love y'all. I thank y'all. Take care of each other. Respect one another. Love one another. And if you don't do anything else in your life, support cystic fibrosis.
Peace.